Well, I thank the Lord for the good meeting we've had. It's been real special to me. Been a blessing. And I trust the Lord will bless His Word tonight. I know that He gives His Word and then He has to bless that Word and make it alive. And so we trust Him to do that. I feel like the Lord's given me some things for us tonight and just want to share those and ask the Lord to give us the food for our soul tonight. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Y'all pray for us. I don't know why I always get so nervous when I get up here. But the Lord gives me grace for that. So Ephesians 4 and 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And I'm thinking tonight about how that the Lord longs for His people, for us individually and for the church, to be in the fullness of a full man, and not stunted and not lacking. There's a lot of lacks in today's world. And we see a lot of things in religion. And we see a lot of churches that are real lopsided. And maybe they're real strong in one area. And in another area, they just completely disobey the Word of God. And I was thinking about how that God has a people that He wants to have the fullness of Himself in it. He doesn't want us to be maimed and lacking in anything. And so I want to turn over and look at a few things. I'm going to do some reading. I know it's going to be a little bit laborious for a few minutes. But I want to turn to 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 4. And look at some things here that God has given for our benefit. He says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And I'm thinking tonight about these things, and I want to read a few other passages where the Lord gave us some commandments. And He gave us some things. And He said here that if we do these things, they'll make us that we will abound in the things of the Lord. They'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do these things, He says we're going to lack. "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." I'm thinking tonight about us giving diligence to our calling, to make it sure, and to make it whole and complete. The Lord wants every one of us to have a life with Him that's full and complete, and not lacking basic elements of what we need in life. I want to look at just a few of these scriptures here that we read. And if we look over these, it says add to our basic faith. That thing that we have when we begin, He said add virtue to that. Add some of these things in our life. Add that purity of heart, purity of life into our life. And He says add knowledge to that. These are little secrets that He tells us here. If you'll do these things, it'll make you that you won't be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He tells us to add temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. You know, I believe that the Lord expects and wants His people to digest and eat words like this and take it in and meditate upon it and let it change us. He tells us to add these virtue and knowledge. Some of those things, such as knowledge, takes some time and effort. But He tells us that these are real vital parts to our salvation. And if we'll take and add these things and let the Word work in our life, my real thought tonight is how the Word works in our life and how the Lord wants to use the Word along. I know that in Ephesians there, He was talking about the ministry and the gifts working in the body to help bring us to a place of completeness. But I'm thinking tonight as well how that His Word in our daily lives, He has a place for that to work in us a maturing and a deepening day by day as we eat this Word. It'll make us so that we're not lopsided. I think about, you look out in the world today and you see so many people in so many religions and so many different ways and so lopsided many times. Sometimes you'll find people that they're so busy doing things in their church and things for God supposedly, and yet they don't live a life that's clean and pure and right with their brethren and with other people. And I just think about how that God wants us to take His Word day by day, week by week. He doesn't want us to be lacking basic elements of life. He wants us to take these things and then let his work a work in us. Lord, you see, I need more temperance. Lord, I just need this. I need you to help me with it. And you know, as we take this Word and we begin to work with it and let it work in our life, it begins, as we long for that and ask God for that, then the Lord does what He says He'll do. And He begins to give us what we need. And so as we go through life, then we're not all out of balance and lopsided. I want to look at a few other places and then we'll go on. I have some thoughts here after we read several passages maybe. Matthew 25, I want to read this account here that the Lord gives of the judgment scene. And now we just read where He said, if we don't have these things, we're blind and cannot see afar off. But then in Matthew, He brings us to some other realizations. That's not the only thing in His Word. We look at verse 34 to 42 of Matthew 25. He says, then shall the king, and this is the judgment scene here. Jesus is telling us what it's going to be like when we come up to the end of the way. How He's going to judge us. He's telling us ahead of time. So when we read His Word, Lord, help us to open our hearts. Lord, help me to absorb this into my life as well. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no meat, no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. And then on down in verse 46, he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life everlasting, eternal. And I'm thinking tonight about the value of we've just been through a good camp meeting. You know, the Lord doesn't want us after this meeting to just slip back into just mediocrity and just wishing for that camp meeting again. The Lord wants to build some things into our lives so that we go right on from this and we go right on prospering in the things God has given. We go right on working for the Lord, right on doing His will, right on keeping pure in this world. And we do that in part by taking His Word day by day. My thought today, tonight is, in part anyway, take the Word of God as we go from this place. Let it work its work in us. It will keep us balanced. It will keep us on track. It will help us to be able to find the life of God in our life from day to day. I just think about how lopsided so many people are. And you wonder, how could they be that way? How could they... I want to bring this thought. One of the devil's tricks is to cause us to zero in on one thing. And it justifies us. Because doesn't the Word say that? I thought about a man that I had worked with some, I don't mean on the job, but tried to help him, and we had talked. This man had an idol in his life, you might call it, and he knew it was wrong. And we had worked with it, and he said, yeah, I wish I could give it up. I know I need to give it up. I know God wants me to give it up. And you know, it went on like that, and it went on, and maybe he gave it up for a while, but he just wasn't willing to let it go. I saw him a while back, and this man was real involved in another church now, and doing wonderful deeds, more so than we are in that way, way more so. And he told me, he said, well, isn't that what God wants us to do? Well, you know, I couldn't say no. It sure is. But He also wants us to be clean. He wants us to have virtue in our life. He doesn't want us to have idols in our life. See, what I'm afraid for this man is that he's going to come up to the time of the judgment and he's going to fit this category we just read, where he's out feeding the hungry, picking up and doing those things. But what about the virtue? What about the purity? What about the godliness? That idol is still there. It's still there. But he's justifying himself because he has chosen a piece of the Word and deceived himself, I'm afraid. And that I think about tonight, there's a safety in the way God wants us to do and live our lives. He doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to be a full man, the full measure of Christ. Not only do we feed the hungry, not only do we visit those that need visited, not only is our life full of good works, but then we read all of the Word. Day by day we read the Word. And as we read it, we find, oh Lord, help me here. I'm short there. I need You to help me to move up there. I need to be more patient. You know, it's the work of the Word in our hearts, in our lives, as we diligently pursue day after day, Lord, let Your will be done in my life. Not just a part of Your will. Because you see, there's more than just one place in this Bible where it gives us a depiction of the judgment day. And so when we find that time coming and we come to that place, I sure want Him to be able to put the Word on one side of the scales and say, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord. Oh, I don't want to come up to that day and find myself short. Lord, but I was doing good things for you all the time. And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And that's one of the things that the enemy works so hard to do, is to cause people to zero in on one thing at the expense of maybe those things that sometimes are even more valuable than what we've zeroed in on. I want to read a couple of other judgment scene times right here in this 25th chapter of Matthew. I'll read 1 to 13, Matthew 25 and 1 to 13. I know it's a lot of reading here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, here is another depiction of the judgment day. This time it has nothing to do. It doesn't have so much to do with our works. It doesn't have so much to do with the virtue. I know it's all tied in. But here he's telling us we got to have oil in our lamps. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts as a light to the world, and as it burns in our life and in our heart. You know, there's a great danger in feeding on the same scriptures too much. We need the Word of God, and we need all the Word of God. As we read it, it challenges us. Lord, is the Holy Spirit burning in my heart? Are you having your way in my life? Is my life a light to the world around me? That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It causes us to be a light, and it burns. And it consumes as it burns. I want to read one more fairly lengthy place, and then that's the last of the long reading. But Matthew 25, again, 14 to 30. I want to just go through this. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. I'm thinking about our talents. You know, again, the Word of God speaks to us. And he tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And he gives talents out to each one of us. And he gives something for you and something for me. Yours isn't mine and mine isn't yours. But we have something. One may have 1 talent and one may have 10. But as we read the Word, it should challenge our hearts that one day I'm going to stand before the judgment and give account of what I've done with what God has given me. Don't it put a fear in your heart, a godly fear, to do all the will of God? You know, we can be ever so good in one way. And the Lord tells us He has so many things for us. Many times we see people get hung up, both in the world and sometimes even around us. We see people get hung up and they'll go all the way to the extreme in one area. It might be modesty. And I believe fully in the saints' standard of modesty. I love that. But you know what? We can be totally measured up. And if we don't have any oil in our lamp, we don't have anything to meet the Lord with. We're not going to be ready, no matter how measured up we are. We can be doing all the works in the world. We can be out courting the millions and having great success. But if we're not pure in our hearts, we have nothing. Nothing to meet the Lord with. And He says we're blind and have forgotten that we've been purged from our sins. It is the devil's business to cause us many times to try to zero in on something. A lot of times it's a cover-up and an excuse for us in some other area of our life. I thought about... I wanted a good example of what this was like. I think about a car. What is a car? Is it a motor? Is it a wheels and a chassis and all that? Is it a body? What is a car? Is it a door? Is it a headlight? Is it bumpers? Every bit of that's part of a car. But no one piece of that is a car at all. I thought about the man that I was telling you about a while ago. I'm concerned for his soul. Because to me, he has a door. He's got it all shined up. And he's showing me this door. See my car? See my car? And I'm thinking, that's a door. That's not a car. That's a door. A car has a door, but a door is not a car. I want us to just think tonight and be challenged in our life. Lord, let your word become real in my life. All of your word. Let me read it. Let me study it. Let me absorb it. When the messages are going forth, oh, give me ears to hear the word of God. Don't we long for those things? One day, don't we want to hear the Lord say, well done. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant, come on in to the joy of my Lord. Second Timothy 3:5. it gives a list of sins. He says that in the last days, going to be in perilous times. Things that in the past were maybe at times just in the world, but not everywhere. In the last times, he says there's going to be perilous times. And he tells us here, verse 5, these people having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I thought about that car. You know, we can have a form. We can have the body. Or maybe we can think we have the power. But, you know, he said here, these people had a form of godliness, but denied the power of it. Only by being diligently following the ways of God in our life and opening our heart to the dealings of the Lord on a daily basis in our devotions can we be sure that that we have more than a form of godliness. Because if we're not careful, what we will find is that we have a pretty good looking form. But the power of God to make us love one another, the power of God to make us keep our tongue. The tongue can no man tame. And see, we can do so many things, and yet, what about our tongue? What about the parts of our life that the Lord wants to reach in and deal with day by day? James, that's James 1 and 26. I want to read that. You know, these are all scriptures, all places I'm just thinking about. Reading the Word, absorbing it. Lord, if I find myself short, oh, don't let me throw up my hands and leave you. But Lord, please meet my need. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, that's in there too. Matthew 15 and 30. I want to just look at a scripture here. You know, when as we read the Word, we find the Lord is so interested in us. It says here, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. I think about tonight how that the Lord, he really cares about our needs. He isn't trying to condemn us by these things. The Lord could condemn us in just an instant. He could wipe us out. He could wipe all of us. But we find here that the Lord cared about these people. And he cares about you and me too. It says he healed them. You know, as we see ourselves in the Word, the Lord isn't wanting to cast us out. He gave us our Word so that we'll be prepared when that great day comes. So if we're maimed, if we're blind, if we can't see afar off, let's just give it to God. Lord, I'm blind. I know I'm not seeing. I know I'm not where you want me to be. But Lord, I know you died that I could be. Oh, can't we open our hearts and let the Lord heal us? I thought about a scripture. Maybe I'll read it in a little bit. But it says something about he sent his word and healed them. Oh, that's what the Lord wants to do. He looks on people like you and me. And he sends his word and he shows us ourselves. And then he sends his word and he heals us. He cares about us. He's the same Lord that he was back there. 1 Corinthians 11 and 28 is a scripture here. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. There's another scripture as well. I had it too, about examining ourselves. Let every man examine himself. You know, that's part of what the Word is for. As we go day by day, we eat it. It feeds us. It scours us. It cleans us. It scours the Word is like a fuller soap. The Spirit working with that. And it cleans and it purges and it works. I want us to look at a scripture over in Jeremiah. I'm just bouncing around a few scriptures here. Just to open our hearts and minds. To the Lord, let all your word soak into my heart. Jeremiah 17 and 5. He says here, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You know, the Lord put these things in here for our profit and for our learning. I think about how that the Lord wants to bless. It says there in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You know, there's an element in our heart. This is not something that we can always just legislate. There's an element of trust in our heart that God wants us to have in Him. And when we depart from that, and we become, for whatever reason, scared, whatever, and we know that we are departing from putting our trust in God, you know, the Lord is very displeased with that. He wants our complete confidence put in Him in many areas of our life. There's a trust, and these elements of life, I say this because we're not just talking about a straitjacket religion that straps people in. God is wanting to bless His people, and He has given the prescription in the Word for us to prosper in our souls. And as we take all of His Word, some of it hurts, some of it is very hard on our flesh. But what we find is that as we allow His Word to work in our life and we keep our life clear, we'll find a plain and a large place that the Lord has prepared for His people to dwell in. A clear place, a large place, a place where blessing and help, a wealthy place, the Lord has prepared for you and me. But it's when we take all of His Word and we allow it to work in our hearts. We keep our hearts for Him. He's a jealous God. And when we find ourselves in our heart not willing to put our trust in the Lord, in some area that the Lord is wanting us to trust Him in, you know, we can. I thought about the maimed and the weak and the blind. We can become, because of lacks in our life, we find ourselves becoming maimed and weak. When there's a lack in a bearing, when there's a lack in a wheel, it's out of balance. You know what happens? That's not a thing that's just totally isolated to itself. That wheel that has that lack, it's going to cause the bearings to go out. And then it's going to ruin your front end. There's going to be some damage that we take when we do not keep our life in proper working order before God. So I'm just encouraged tonight to allow the Lord, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, to allow the Lord to work in our hearts the work that He wants to do. It is many times through reading the Word, understanding the Word, or hearing the Word, and putting that into our life, that we find the Lord opens up new places for us. We find that He solidifies our faith through some very hard things sometimes. He allows those things, and He wants us to stand right there and take heat sometimes. Lord, work in my life. Live or die, Lord, please have your way in my life. Whatever you call me to, whatever my talent is. When a parent tells their child to do something, you know, I was mentioning this to a brother the other night. We might tell our child, I want you to go out, or I want you to go up and clean your bedroom. And he might just think, well, why do I have to clean my bedroom tonight? You know, there might be a bunch of reasons we want them to keep their bedroom clean or do something like that. Because we want them to learn discipline. We want them to learn respect for themselves. We want them to learn how to take orders. We want them to learn how to work hard. We want them to learn some good. There's many, many reasons maybe why we tell them something. You know, in God's Word, it is the same way. When He tells us something, we don't know how many reasons He has for telling us. And we just think, that's too hard. I can't do that. I cannot conquer my flesh there. I cannot do what God has called me to do. Or I cannot suffer that. I just can't suffer that. I'm not going to suffer that. And many people don't. And I see them suffering the loss, being maimed by not having the fullness and lacking places that God wants them to be filled out in and blessed in. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. It says here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can only do that if we really study at it. If we allow God to work the way He wants to work, can we rightly divide the word of truth? If we take our own way or have our pet thing, and yet we're not all out for the Lord, we're not all on the altar, we're not all given over to God, then really we're going to suffer some real deficiencies. That scripture that I was wanting a while ago was Psalms 107 and 20. How that the Lord sent His word and healed them. I'm just going to quote that. Psalms 119 and 97 is another scripture. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Let it work in us day by day, saints. We're going out of this place. The Lord doesn't want us to drop the ball when we leave here. He doesn't want us to become discouraged and barely eke along. He wants us to be burning, shining lights that go out and do His will and use our talents in this world today. And next meeting, He wants us to be right in there, ready to do His bidding again. I was thinking about some of the things, and we're kind of winding this down here in a few minutes, but I was thinking about some of the things that cause us to do some of the ways that we do, that cause us to take and be lopsided or maybe take a part of the Word. Many times our upbringing. Many times I think about somebody that has had an abusive father. That's a terrible thing. But you know what it does? It warps their perception of things. And there's things that they can hardly understand or take in. But I thought about the scripture there that we just quoted. He sent His word and healed them. You know, many times those things in our lives, the Lord wants to work with that. They're prejudices maybe. Maybe they're things that we were born with, personality complexes. Or maybe we had some bad experiences when we were young. And it causes us to have an aversion to some things that God wants us to accept and have. And He wants His Word to heal those places in us. I think about, I'll just mention this one or two things here. Sometimes people will have maybe in their youth or something, they were mistreated by some holiness type of people or something. And so when they see those kind of people, it's easy for them to feel an aversion toward people that are dressed like the saints dress, like the Word of God calls for us to. You know, there's many things that work that cause us to be like we are. And the only hope that we have is, Lord, You're going to have to help me to change my prejudices. You're going to help me to change those areas in my life that I have an aversion to something that is holy or to something that is right or true because of some past happening in my life or because of something I think about many things. You look at people raising their families. Sometimes you see a real fear to correct a child or something and bring a child in control, because maybe when that parent was young, maybe they were abused, or maybe they had some very negative experiences, and so they don't want their children to feel that way. You know, God wants us to be balanced out by His Word. And so as we allow God's Word to heal us, Lord, send Your Word. Won't You heal us tonight? I'm thinking tonight about us saints. Oh, the Lord has a land to take us to. One of these days He wants us to be in heaven with Him. And He don't want us to be all maimed and blind even here. He wants to open our vision. He wants us to be able to get over those things that trouble us. We've all been raised with some of those things. Some of those things that trouble us. Some of those things that cause us to make bad decisions if we allow them to. And yet, the Word will lead us into places of safety. It'll lead us into places where we humble ourselves before God. Lord, I don't know why I feel this way, but you can change me. I know You can. That's the faith that God wants us to have. Come before Him. Lord, won't You help me? Won't You change me? Won't You make me into what I know You want me to be? You all pray for me.